touchdown here. Khalil Mullins. And Michigan takes a 42-22 lead.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome in. Gus Johnson on Fox calling that last touchdown. He wasn't all that excited, but Michigan gets the extra point, and they end up winning the game 43-22. We're ready to talk about it here. Welcome in. It is the Michigan Football Post Game Live. I'm Dennis Fithian, joined by former Wolverine Jim Scarcelli. And, Scar, we got plenty to talk about here, and Michigan goes out to Indianapolis, and they're 13-0, and they're back-to-back Big Ten champs. What are your thoughts?
Oh, Danny, I'm so fired up. I'm so fired up for these players that get to put another championship ring on their finger. But it all starts. It always starts with the guy in charge, and we got a great leader. You know, it's all about leadership. You got the right coach, you win. The buck stops there, and Jim Harbaugh's done it again. Okay, he lost his offensive coordinator last year. He lost his defensive coordinator, his D-line coach. Reloads, brings some guys in, and we don't miss a beat. All right, he moved a couple coaches around, moved Jay Harbaugh around, moved Bellamy around. And it's just we out-programmed him, Denny. He out-led him, we out-coached him, we out-programmed him. Again, we got a better strength coach, we got better trainers. My buddy texted me the other day, he says, it's amazing that we can win after we beat Ohio State. He says, now that we finally got a quarterback, we can win. I said, no, we got everything, man. We got good defense too. We got a run game. We got the whole package. We've won with two different quarterbacks. So, that's a sign of a good system, man. That we can win with either two different type of quarterbacks. And, he went out and got a center. He was able to get Alls to come back and Mozzie to come back. Mozzie had a great year. And, Danny, we don't rebuild, we reload. And it's all about that right there. You see what that is right there, Denny?
It looks like a ring.
That's a Big Ten championship ring. Okay. And Coach Harbaugh's got two as a player, and now everybody's got two more, all them coaches and players, 2 years in a row. They got rings. No one can take it away from them. They got rings for life. Great job, coach, players, and the whole deal.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's fabulous to be on after the Big Ten title game. And all the things that you say are true, and you can start in a million different ways. Michigan wins this game tonight. It was a pretty entertaining game. And Michigan started out fast, and then kind of like they have all year long, it was a close game in the first half. It was only a one-point game at the half. But if you're a Michigan fan and you're like, wow, man, this just might not be going so well, you've been down this road so many times, you just say, well, Michigan will come out in the second half, and they're a second-half team. And not only did they come out in the second half and play like they did. I mean, like right off the bat, you had Donovan Edwards going for, 60 yards. And then, the next drive, it happened again. The first two drives, the first two series of the second half, they really, it felt like the game was over after that. And a lot of different guys making plays in this game. But, if Michigan, here they are 13-0. And whenever you're listening to this, we're live right now. But later on today, just in about 12 hours, the selection committee will rank the teams. And we know that Michigan is going to be number two. We know Georgia is going to be one. We just don't know if Ohio State's going to be number three. We don't know if TCU is going to be number three, or we don't know if Alabama is going to slip in there. Those are the things that we don't know. But for Michigan, as I sit here, Scar, if somebody wanted to say, what do you think of Michigan this year? I'd say Michigan's 13-0, and they're a second-half team. And they're a big play team. And that's what they did tonight. They were a second half team and they were a big play team. And here they are 13-0.
Yeah. Hey, offensively, we've won and we've moved the ball in different ways at different times against different teams. We'll take what you give you. Purdue did a pretty darn good job of defending our run. Ron English, the old Michigan defensive coach, you know, he did a pretty good job of slowing our run game down early in there. But then that second touchdown drive, that's when I really started to get some – I got confident that because we were starting to get our power play going and starting to get some things going. And you know, he really feared our run game. They overplayed it at times. And we didn't play. We made a lot of mistakes on both sides of the ball in the first – this whole game we made mistakes. We found ways to overcome them. We had guys that stepped up and made plays. You know, the five-star freshman, he played like a five-star today. Johnson, you know, big plays, man. You know, and Donovan, big play, made that guy miss. Donovan Edwards had the best football game he's ever had at Michigan. You know, we've seen him run by people when a play is well blocked. But today he made people miss. He ran through tackles. He played with one arm. He didn't turn the ball over. A lot of really good things. But that second drive really gave me a lot of confidence because that's when we started to get started blocking them.
You're talking about the second drive of the second half?
No, the second drive of the first half. Oh, well. The second touchdown drive was when I started to see – you know, that we were moving them a little bit. We started to execute and get the run game going a little bit, you know, through our best stuff, our best plays.
Yeah, well, with Edwards, you know, in the first series, I mean, it's the first play of the second half. He goes for 60 yards. The surprise there was that he got caught. I didn't think anybody would catch him, you know, especially when you saw the way that he had the 75-yarder and he broke off that 85-yarder in the second half last week, I should say, against Ohio State. So that was a little bit of a surprise. And then that second series, JJ hits Schoolmaker for 40 yards. And then to your point, what you're talking about with Donovan Edwards, I think out of the two long touchdown runs he had against Ohio State, anything else that he had in there, the catch that he had against Rutgers, he ran in between the tackles and he was the 27-yard touchdown run that he had right up the middle. He was smashing into guys. He was bouncing off of guys, and he wasn't going to be denied. He got in there, and it felt like to me that was one of the nails in the coffin, even though, you know, it was only the second series in the third quarter. That was I think that was his best run in the maize and blue.
Yeah, you know, I thought he had a great, great game with the physicality and making guys miss and, you know, that one touchdown run he had. I mean, I don't know how many guys missed. But, you know, our line blocked pretty good considering, but Purdue was overcommitting. They were bringing a lot of pressure. You know, they made things difficult for us. So I got to give them credit, you know, for some of the things they did defensively. You know, they're not, you know, they're not a great defense. They don't have the best athletes, but they're well coached. Both sides and all phases, Purdue was pretty well coached. But our offensive line, you know, how many times on fourth down, Danny, did we convert? We only tried a couple, three times, and we moved them and we converted it. You know, you could see that, and those were big, big fourth down conversions.
And I'll tell you, we're going to go down to the podium. Jim Harbaugh is ready to accept the trophy from Kevin Warren, who's talking right now. I have the game running here, so I will be able to bring you some of that audio. I might be able to just zip right forward. I can probably go live. Well, let's see. There's Jim Harbaugh. Let's see what he's saying. He's holding up the trophy. Oh, that's not him. There he is. He's holding up the trophy. I get tired of seeing that very often.
You know, Jim, what I like about Jim, right away he gives it to someone else. He has them interview the players, interview these other coaches. You know, he's all about giving the praise to everybody else, which I like that he does that.
It's been a happy mission, but more than that, it's been a godly mission, and we thank our Lord and Savior.
Okay.
This year, and I can tell you that there is an uncommon bond and chemistry
Joel Klatt.
On this team. Where does that come from?
It really comes from them. A lot of people talk about culture, but it's beyond culture. It's a brotherhood amongst the staff, amongst the players. And, again, that's what it is. I mean, it's love. It's love about and perseverance. It's been great love, and we're happy to be back-to-back champs. Ronnie Bell, get in here, Ronnie.
Well, there he is.
You know, Danny, he talks about that love and that camaraderie and, you know, I know in the past when we weren't winning, people would make fun of the trips we were taking to South Africa and France. And, you know, he took them around Michigan this year. But, you know, all that matters, man. You start building a bond. You start building a love and a brotherhood. And, you know, that matters when you get in tough situations and you get in, you go through tough times as a team. And, you know, he really has, you know, those guys caring and fighting for each other. But, you know, let's talk quickly about JJ, Danny. God, did he – so many big plays with his legs. You know, the first touchdown was set up by him on 3rd and 6. He scrambles out. He finds Ronnie Bell. You know, and it just – The thing too, Danny, is when you're facing a quarterback that runs around, you got him 3rd and 7, 3rd and 10, 3rd and 12, and the guy runs around and keeps the drive alive. It's just so discouraging for a defense, and it wears on you from a conditioning standpoint also, especially when you're indoors. But his legs were the difference all year for us, you know, between by making our offense a better offense than it was last year. And, you know, he only had the one mistake, you know, throwing the ball that was a high-risk pass, trying to keep it alive. But how many times did he convert, you know, big third downs? I've got a couple written down here. Big third down conversions with his legs, you know, and he threw the ball real well today. That dime to Ronnie Bell in the end zone was a small window. You know, he had very few balls that were not catchable, so – once again,
over 200 yards JJ last week against the Buckeyes. Over 180 yards in the championship game. Tell me what it means to you to step up and do what you've done in the absence of Blake Corum.
First and foremost, I couldn't do this without my Lord and Savior. You know, I'm blessed to be able to do.
Yo, Donovan.
To be able to do this in the name of the Lord and praise his name after this big time game that we just played. We back-to-back champions. Shout out to Blake Corum. Blake Corum is the best running back in college football. He deservedly needs the Heisman. If he didn't get hurt, he would have easily won the Heisman. So shout out to Blake Corum. This for you, baby.
That's that brotherhood. That's good, you know.
There's been a clear mission with this team, and it was plain as day last Saturday and then here tonight in the championship game. You guys have your eyes fixed on what's to come. You're 13-0 now. Tell us what your goals are ahead.
I mean, it's kind of self-explanatory what our goals are. I believe that we talked about it all year, and it's not really much more need to be said. I want to give another shout out to the best running backs, Coach Mike Hart, and the best college football team, and my best friends on this team, my brothers, the Michigan football team. I love y'all, boys. Let's go do what our main goal is.
Congratulations, sir.
I tell you, you know, I watched Donovan play in high school, and you know, and we heard all the hype, and I remember some of the guys that got all the hype that we brought in, and I said, Donovan Edwards. We hit the jackpot there. That guy is worth the hype, and he's playing out like it. And I love his attitude. He's about team. He's about talking about Corum. So those things are coach. That's not by accident. That stuff is all instilled from the leader, you know, talking about your teammate. And because they see him do it. They see Coach Harbaugh give credit to everybody else. So your players are going to respond. And Donovan had a great game. One of the greatest things he did, he secured the ball. Every time he carried the ball, then he had to carry it only with his left hand. I mean, that darn right hand has a serious cast on it still. But our receivers were good. We missed a couple blocks in there on some bubble screens. I was frustrated with some of that stuff. You know, we didn't block the right guy, but we made some mistakes there. But it's good to get – you see Denny with Scooney in the game. We can run to him at the point of attack. So that was good. And they threw the wheel route to the freshman. That was our first touchdown. And JJ threw a dime to a big athletic kid. It was a small window. It was right where it had to be. That was the wheel route. And it was well executed and a good throw. But we got good tight end play, better blocking out of our tight ends. So that group was fine also.
Colston Loveland is a star. You know, he comes up, he just has the one catch, but 25 yards for a touchdown. But he had the 45-yard touchdown to get Michigan that first touchdown of the second half against Ohio State. And he really is one of these guys that if you talk about this team, and now you're talking about a special team, you're talking about a Big Ten championship team, back-to-back, and a team that's you know, got their eyes on winning it all. But if you go through, you know, they handled distractions, and then they had a lot of different guys step up throughout the year. They had the quarterback distraction, even though they had the non-conference schedule. No coach had ever come out and said, hey, you know what, we're going to have a quarterback competition in the first two games. We're going to start Cade, who won the Big Ten championship last year, and then we're going to start J.J. McCarthy, and then we're going to go from there. Everybody's like, I'm freaking out. But they did that. And then, you know, Cade gets hurt. Blake Corum gets hurt. Donovan Edwards steps in for him. Eric All gets hurt. Schoemaker's there. You get Colston stepping up. That offensive line, it wasn't intact the whole year, Scar. Trent A. Jones went out. Ryan Hayes went out. Trevor Keegan went out. They had different guys going in there. That's a lot of different players.
You know, Danny, you had the legend. You had Lloyd Carr on. I listened to you guys talk, and Lloyd hit it right on with all the injuries and, you know, and all the – that's why you got to recruit, man. You got to recruit good players. You can't just win with 22. You got to have a team. And then, you know, people dogged us out for those three games, but there was a benefit. Just like Coach Carr said, there was a benefit to that. We played a lot of guys. We got it. We developed a lot of depth, and we needed it. And, you know, the other thing, Denny, that, you know, I understood it as a player and a coach, is when you win, everybody in the Big Ten, you know, especially the Eastern teams that had to play us, you know, they were spending more time on Michigan in spring football.
All right, let's go back to Indy. Let's see, we got Jim Harbaugh. See if we can hear. I think that's them having technical control. Yeah, they're changing the microphone here. Here's a little JJ.
You have a different role on this team. You played this year. The starting quarterback just led your team. You led these guys, your brothers, to a Big Ten championship and a berth in the college football playoff. Just describe, I know the job is not done, but describe what you're feeling right now, your fans, all your guys here right now.
I mean, it obviously feels great. Back-to-back's amazing, and just checking off one of our goals that we had for ourselves this year. And it's just a testament to all the work we put in the offseason and execution we put on during the season. But like I said, before, this head means nothing. Job's not finished yet. Job's not finished.
Hey, are you going? Oh, okay, go, Ben.
All right, there you go, Scar. Job's not finished. J.J. McCarthy. It's a
part. I like their goals, man. They beat Michigan State, beat Ohio State, win the Big Ten championship, and then win the national championship. So we got three knocked out, and it's about one more goal, man. So I can just envision that team meeting when they set their goals up, and Coach Harbaugh got on the board, and they hammered that out, and now they're checking them off. But Danny, offensively, big plays. Purdue took a lot of stuff away, but our coaches made some adjustments in the second half. Players made some plays in the second half, and we got things going. You ready to talk about the defense?
I'm ready to talk about anything, Scar. Let me just tell you this. Like, listening to the players there just a little bit and just knowing, you know, you get some confetti getting ready to come out, and you just start thinking about, you know, tomorrow – we know Georgia's going to be one. We know Michigan's going to be two. Maybe they'll play TCU. Maybe Michigan will have to play Ohio State. We'll see how that works itself out tomorrow. But it's just really, you know, you just start thinking about it. These guys don't have to play until New Year's Eve. So it's a party in Indianapolis. And if you're a fan, I mean, it's a party. And I think you do. Even if you're this team, man, you celebrate a Big Ten championship tonight. You may be able to take this party into Monday. I don't know when they have to start focusing on. You know, their next opponent or anything else. The fans don't have to do anything like that. So, you know, it's going to really, this is touched off really for the rest of 2022. It's a Michigan football party. I mean, to me, that's what it means. But yeah, I want to hear what you have to say about the defense. Let's go. I want you to start.
Believe me.
I want to say this, Scar, one more thing. Will Johnson, everybody will talk about his two picks. But even as I'm watching, I thought, this guy can hit. He's a tough run defender. He's a hell of a player. And then both of his picks were pretty awesome. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, our defense was challenged. This kid is a good quarterback, man. You know, and Jeff Brohm is good. He does things that are difficult to defend. Good schemes. His tight end is as good as anybody, man. His offensive line is physical and tough. And yeah, Johnson was outstanding. But you know, the first drive, I was like, wow, we're in good shape. We defended the screen, the bubble. We were able to get some pressure at four. One of the big keys was what we had to get them to third and seven, third and eight, third and nine. Then we could bring in the three edge guys and take one of the D lineman defensive interior guys out. And we got some pressure like that at times. So that was big. But the best thing, I mean, we did a lot of good things on defense, but the bottom line, Danny, red zone defense. I mean, Purdue, it was the same story with what we wanted to do against Ohio State. You know, they make a living throwing the ball, but now you got to buckle up. You got to move people in the red zone. And we were outstanding in the red zone offensively, and our defense was outstanding stopping them in the red zone. So that was huge. Red zone defense was huge. I thought Minter did not have a great first half. Some of our stuff, we were confused. Our drops were not sound. There was some mental breakdowns. We didn't appear to have the mental breakdowns in the second half. But one of the big things too, Danny, you got to understand, when you're playing Illinois and it's 30 degrees out, you're playing Ohio State, it's 45 degrees out, and for 12 games you've been playing outside, and now you got to go indoors. Okay, that's totally different conditioning. Totally different conditioning. And again, now you got to have depth, especially when you're playing someone like Purdue. You got to have bodies to rotate in there. So I was a little frustrated because Mozzie looked like he was playing tired in the first half. But then we started rotating the bodies. We were rotating all of our edge guys, played six of them in there. They all played good enough to win. And then we started seeing Benny and Graham, and they put Grant in there a little bit too. So the rotations were huge. So we could keep fighting the pass rush. There's nothing that wears a defensive lineman down more, Danny, than rushing the quarterback. But I know I threw a lot at you, but they did not get their run game going enough. So I wouldn't say we made them one-dimensional, but we pretty darn near did. And that's, again, the Michigan defense was able to do that.
Yeah, as I was sitting back watching him in the first half, Chris Jenkins was getting in there, and you know Harbaugh likes to talk about that run wall, and you know I could see a little bit of a run wall, and Mozzie might have missed some things here and there, but he was running around and moving the pocket a little bit too. Harrell made a lot of plays in the first half. He seemed like he might have been their best defensive end, you know, and it's one of those things. Like, they didn't have Mike Morris. I mean, Mike Morris was their sack leader. And he missed that game. He missed this game. And in the second half, I saw a little bit of 91. Taylor Upshaw was making some plays. And then I think he's the fan favorite, Yabi Oki. It's a cool name to say. And he was all over the place, diving at the quarterback's legs, moving him around, weaving in and out. He's a tough guy to handle. He's got a lot of athleticism. So those guys it seemed like the front seven. They were moving around. Look, you know, Purdue, the ball comes out pretty quick. That's a tough quarterback to defend, you know?
Yeah. That, you know, Jeff Brohm, again, he's smart. He realizes we could rush the quarterback. We did not rush well early in the game on first down. First down, Brohm will throw the football. So I think defensively, if I'm playing for Michigan today, normally, first down against most teams, you're thinking run. But against Purdue, so you're changing your stance, your mindset. So I think our defensive players and our coaches, even, you know, they started to change their thinking. So we started to get some pressure on early downs, you know, because it's just different. You play Purdue, it's not like playing Iowa on first down. You might have to widen out and think pass rush a little more. But like the flea flicker run, there's a Jeff Brohm play. They hurt us with that. We've never seen that before. But, you know, I thought Junior and Barrett, We struggled a little bit in the first half with some of our zone drops and some of the things we were doing, but they got situated. How about the Mullings kid, Denny? This kid makes tackles and he scores touchdowns in the same game, number 20. He played defense and he ran the football. So that was great to see. But our secondary was challenged today. You know, no deep touchdowns over the head. They had to work for everything. But it was, you know, it wasn't a great secondary performance. It was good enough to win with Johnson having, you know, having some big plays. And, you know, Coach Mo always used to say, and, you know, these guys want to throw. That's what they want to do. That's their offense. Okay, you can't get frustrated when they complete passes on you. But in the long run, they're going to throw one to you. You know, that's what he always used to tell us. They're going to throw one to you. There's going to be a tip ball. They're going to make a mistake if they live and die with the pass. So we made them pay tonight with Johnson making some, you know, making some big plays their pass game.
That controlled the game they won.
Wait a second. I didn't know I had the audio up, so I'm going to work on that. I want to just play a little bit from the game. Go give me a little bit more here, Scar. How do you think the four teams will – I want to know what four you would have if you were on
the –
they'll put out there.
Listen, you know, Urban Meyer, it's interesting. If you ask coaches, you know, Urban Meyer is about, you know, who would you not want to play? You know, who are the best teams? And – if you ask me, who are the three teams I don't want to face? Number one would be Georgia. That's the first team I don't want to face because I think they have great talent. The next team I don't want to face would be either Ohio State or Alabama. Those three teams have the best players on their roster of any teams that we would have to face. So Georgia, but that's not the question. The question is now who deserves it? I'll play TCU. I'll play USC. I said it for the last 3-4 weeks. I said, I'll play TCU. I'll play USC any day. We'll move the ball on TCU. Okay. They're not seeing offenses like us. We will move the ball on them and we will defend them. I'm hoping it's us and TCU and Georgia and Ohio State. That's what I'm hoping. You know, I would hope they would, you know, they would reward TCU for having been played in a championship game and not punish them because they played in a championship game. I would hope they would punish Ohio State for losing and getting whooped at home, getting beat bad at home, whereas TCU lost a close game in a championship 13th game. So that's what I'm thinking. Georgia 1, Michigan 2, TCU 3, Ohio State 4. I think that's what they're going to do. Because you can't award Ohio State, you know, getting beat bad at home, even though physically on the hoof, just like Urban Meyer's trying to say, you know, I would much rather play TCU than Ohio State. You know, I'm sure Georgia probably feels the same way.
Well, you're falling into a trap that a lot of fans do. You're talking about who deserves it and what's, you know, how you think it should play out because of, you know, what you've seen out on the field. And here's what you need to remember about the selection committee. They don't have to do anything. You know, what they want to do is not really put the most deserving teams out there. They want to put the best matchups that are going to get the best ratings. So anything that they can do, they are going to do it. I know a lot of Michigan fans, I see them online or people going at Michigan fans saying, oh, you guys, you know, you don't want to play Ohio State again in the first round. No, Michigan doesn't want to play Ohio State in the first round. We know for sure that it's going to be Georgia 1. And it's going to be Michigan, too. Michigan, it's an easier matchup to the championship game if they're playing TCU. There's no doubt about that. There's no argument. There's no being careful about who you're rooting for or anything else. Michigan is it's a much easier opponent playing TCU. But I think, just like in the first initial college football playoff in 2014, TCU got bumped. You know why? Because nobody wants to see the Horned Frogs. Only Michigan and only TCU fans want to see the Horned Frogs. As much as people will cry about that they deserve to be in there, that committee is going to take them and they're going to put them out of there. They're going to put Ohio State up at 3 and they're going to put Alabama in there. That's how I think it's going to go tomorrow. And they do it because it's really what the country wants to see. And that's going to get the best ratings. I'll be pretty shocked if they have TCU in there at number three, which is what I want, like you, but I don't think that's the way it's going
to
go.
Yeah, well, then that tells you that there's football people on the committee, because if I had to put the best four football teams in the country, my four would be Georgia, Michigan, Alabama, and Ohio State. Those are the four best football teams in the country. There's no question. They got the best talent. Those three teams have great talent. They got four and five star kids all over the place.
They give you the best ratings. They give you the best ratings.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's probably a factor. I don't know if there's a media guy in on the, decision making. It's apparent. Maybe that's what you believe. And
I got news for you, Scar. That's what happened in 2014, putting Ohio State there and taking TCU and getting them out of there. These guys, you could talk about, they know football and everything else. You know what Ward Manuel knows? He knows about golf and he knows about revenue and the big revenue stream. And he's in on that committee. The biggest revenue stream are having the Blue Bloods in there. It's not having the Horned Frogs. Nobody wants the Horned Frogs in there. They deserve to be in there, but it's going to be Michigan and Ohio State. It's going to be Alabama and Georgia. It's going to be Big Ten and SEC. And people are going to cry about it. But guess what? They're all going to watch it. And they're going to watch it a lot more than they would watch Michigan TCU.
So you think they put Ohio State 3, Alabama 4?
Yes, that's why okay. I would.
All right, hey Denny, we'll see what happens. Let me quickly. I want to talk about special teams because it was a big factor in this game.
All right,
let's talk about our kick return team. I mean, we recovered the onside there, which was good. And we started on the we got them, our kickoff team was pretty good. We got them starting on the 15, we got them starting on the 18. But one of the biggest mistakes we've made in a long time on special teams, Denny, when the opponent has the football near the 50-yard line, this is junior high football coaching. When the opponent has the football near the 50 and it's like fourth and three, everybody knows that you're really not going to get much of a return there. So a lot of people will keep a defense on the field. They will keep a punt safe team on the field. You might have your punt return personnel or you'll have your defensive personnel, but you're not going to let them run a fake there because that's where people want to do it, because it's not that big of a risk, because you got, you know, the field position is not much of a, you know, of a risky deal there. So I was upset with our coaches. That was a coaching mistake. We should not have had our punt return team in that type of a deal there. If we're going to keep our punt return, we should have tried to block the punt. So I was really pissed off at that and, you know, throwing things and saying things. And then we almost blocked the rug, you know, the rugby punt deal, Danny, when you're trying to block a punt on that rugby punt, that's really, really hard. Is this Donovan's run?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I could tell already by the shift. I think we got him pretty good on the shift. They adjusted. Okay. But he makes this kid miss. This is about making plays. This play is blocked, and there's a kid right there. And Donovan makes a miss. I was surprised he got caught here. That kid can run for Purdue.
Yeah, 21.
But Donovan made that kid miss. That's making a play. That's making a play. I mean, that could have been a no-gain play, you know, but you know, there's a lot of field out there. And you put that corner in a bind there because now he's got to make an open field tackle, you know, and Donovan jukes him. You can't coach that. You can't coach that athletic ability. So this is a huge play, and that's about making plays, man. That's a five-star kid we recruited. We saw him play in high school, and that's the stuff I saw in high school, and he's doing it against Big Ten competition.
We call that the Ole tackle. Scar, I want to take you where we'll watch some of the
You know, Danny, in defense of that kid, that's a hard tackle to make. It's not easy against an athlete like that. Go ahead.
I wanted to ask you about the extra point, the two-point conversion, the swinging gate where they put almost everybody over and they just had, I think, they had the center and McCarthy.
Yeah. You know, Danny, that is a common scheme that people in high school run. People run it. It's very common. Every football I learned at an early age as a young defensive coordinator that I always have to have my defense ready for that and different versions of it. People will do different little tweaks to it, and you got to try to adjust the best you can. So Purdue understood it. They had a decent idea how to defend it. And, you know, I'm thinking, I'm texting with my buddies. We're thinking, I think Jim bet on the game because it was, you know, we were up 15. And I'm thinking, why not just go for one and, you know, make them have two. They need two touchdowns with two point conversions. But he decided to go for two to make it 17. But anyway, Denny, that is a scheme that coaches use. People use it. And the center was eligible. If you look at that play, how we ran it, our center was a tight end who snapped the ball, and now he can go out. He is an eligible receiver. So it was a good scheme, and JJ found he had a lot of options there. But I'll give Purdue credit. They actually defended it pretty decent. And this is Mullings in here. The guy's making tackles, and he's making runs.
Well, he's really an unheralded star for this team. He comes in the middle of the week against Ohio State, and he moves over to running back. They put in that crazy jump pass for him. He's in there today. Scar, so you would say, and here he bangs it in there for the touchdown.
Yeah, that's just physical. I mean, our offensive line, when we needed a yard, Denny, for the most part, we got it. And that's, you know, Purdue wasn't going to do that to us. They had to, that wasn't happening. So, Urban Meyer said it before the game, Michigan has won the line of scrimmage in 13 football games on both sides of the ball. We've won the line of scrimmage. That's coaching. That's recruiting. That's Ben Herbert. That's all the stuff. That's technique, and that stuff is coached. But real quick, Danny, as mad as I was at our special teams for giving them that darn fake punt, because I thought that was a dumb mistake by our coaches, their guys turned around and did the same thing and jumped off sides where we were lined up to kick a field goal, and then one of their guys jumped off sides. So their players made a mistake, and our guys could have easily, possibly jumped on that, but we didn't, and we ended up taking that down and scoring that touchdown there, our second touchdown. So that was about discipline that we had that they did not. So special teams, we had one big mistake. Otherwise, we did some good things.
Yeah, I'm still I go back to Khalil Mullings and think about him last week. So, he's not a running back. He was in the spring, and maybe he was a little bit in fall camp. But, Michigan had Blake Corum, Donovan Edwards, C.J. Stokes, Tavier Dunlap. You start going down the list a little bit of some of those other guys that they had as walk-ons. So, I don't even know what you would put him as a sixth, seventh-string running back. And he comes in and they need him. And today, they needed him for some carries. And he was important. He picked up short yardage. He got the touchdown. That was you talk about coaching or whatever else. Having the ability to take a guy and having the trust of putting him out there. I don't know. Harbaugh, give it to the offensive coordinators. Give it to probably Mike Hart for coaching him up and getting him in there.
Yeah, he's
a guy like that fumbles or throws it to the other team, like when they tried the crazy jump pass. They would have killed Harbaugh for that. You take a guy over the defense, you put him out there. What do you expect? You expect him to make a mistake, and he didn't make any mistake. So, great job.
Yeah, but Danny, that kid probably was a two-way player for the last for junior high school. He was probably linebacker, running back for 6 years before we got him. So they saw him as a player when they recruited him. Jim likes to recruit those kind of guys, and he did it at Stanford. He played the one kid I remember, he was a fullback linebacker, and he's done it. He did it with the 49ers. It's not a big thing for him to do that. But yeah, Mullings is a tough, he's a tough football player, and he could have a future on either side of the ball for us. So yeah, that was good to see that. What else do I got here defensively? Yeah, we had to get him. I got red zone. I got under defense. I got red zone. That was the big thing, man. They threw it up and down in between the 20s, but the red zone, we got things done. I thought we started the game out a little bit too much zone. That's why they were having so much sex throwing so much success. We were really, really locked into playing zone. I don't know if they were worried about so many trick plays that he runs. I said that he does so many things. Sometimes that simplifies your defense, but we ran a lot of zone first half. They were having success picking it apart. Later on, when we started to stop them a little better, we mixed in some more man and we gave him a few more problems to think about. But
Scarlett, you buried the lead. Let me take you back to the top. Michigan wins this game 43-22. They're 13-0. They win back-to-back Big Ten championships. You can go back to 2003, 2004. But then if you talk about outright Big Ten championships, you're going back to 91, 92. So there's a lot of things. You know, Michigan hadn't beat Ohio State since 2000. And, you know, so all of these things. And then, you know, here they are. They're just waiting on to see who they're going to play in the semifinals. They're two games away from a national championship.
Yeah, Danny, we've got momentum. We have momentum in that whole building, State Street, Schembechler Hall. There's a lot of momentum. We have Jim has developed his system, what he wants to do on both sides of the ball. It's sound. It's solid. We have a foundation. You play Michigan, you better stop these plays, okay? You want to run the play, you want to move the ball against Michigan, you know what you're getting. These guys know what they're getting, and we're just now perfecting it. And we, you know, we haven't out-recruited Ohio State, and Penn State has recruited just as well as we have the last 3 or 4 years. So when we played Penn State, they had the same kind of talent we had. Ohio State has recruited really good players. So, you know, that's about doing a better job with what you got. So anyway, Danny, we have momentum. I'm hoping that we can it translate to some more flips in recruiting. And if anything, it'll help. Maybe if there are some transfers we want to bring in. But, you know, we're going to have rings on the fingers now, man. You know, Jim can sit there now. And, you know, I know what a big factor that was when I was getting recruited, when Coach Schembechler pulled out that tray of rings. You know, when he told me, hey, you want to get one of these? Because if you want to go down the road there, you know, you're not getting one of these. So it should help with recruiting back to back. Big old rings on the finger. You know, we've got momentum and we got energy and we got nothing but positivity. A lot of guys in the pros. So, you know, we got everything going, man. It should just, we just got to keep it rolling.
Yeah, no, I hear you on that. I think that what you're talking about is also, this is a two-play drive. I wanted to throw this one up on the screen. Michigan's second series of the second half.
Yeah, this the tight end here?
Yeah.
Yeah, we threw some different formations at them, and we were running the ball out of that formation, and our coaches did a pretty good job not being too conservative. Yeah, there was a couple drives in there. We got a little frustrated when we were down on our end, but this is something a little different. You know, Gus explained it pretty – or Joel explained it pretty good. We got Scooney coming across there, and it's such a good – it's such a big thing to have him back because now – you know, you can see they got to defend the point of attack where he is as a tight end, and now he's a threat as a receiver too. And the young freshman is getting better. He had some good blocks in there today.
This is Edwards. Sorry to interrupt you, Scar. This is Edwards' best run in the Mason Blue.
I think this is the best run of his career at Michigan. Physicality, making guys miss, running through dudes. I think that's his best run since he's been at Michigan, in my opinion, because it showed – it showed toughness. It showed physicality. It showed athletic ability. You know, make guys miss. Show toughness. One hand. I thought that was his best run. I mean, it was blocked okay, but he made a lot of Boilermakers miss.
Well, you know, he does so much in the pass receiving, and you get him out on the edge. You can make those moves. I mean, this is right up the middle. I mean, that's the thing you like about it.
Yeah, there's this little seam in there. We block down. We kick out with the tight end. He makes that guy miss.
Oh, that's nice.
Make a miss there, miss there, misses. Oh, you know, that's beautiful. That's
six tackles.
I you know, that's the stuff that, you know, always kind of was separating, you know, Corum and him is that ability to really, you know. So this game for him is going to give him a great deal of confidence. His hand will be healthy in a month when we play again, and we're going to get everybody healthy. Jim will be smart with, you know, bowl practices, and, you know, things are rolling, man. But that was a great run by him. Give him a big-time confidence.
Yeah.
Danny, I got to just give a quick shout-out to Mike Hart because his running backs, you know, we didn't fumble the darn football. The last two games, right? We didn't fumble the football, right?
No. No,
you know, that's about Mike Hart and coaching and how he works on it in practice. I've been to their practices, man, and you know, he did that as a player, and he has those guys, you know, doing the drills and doing the things to make sure that they you know, secure the football. So that's huge in this game. Because what was my text message to you before the game? You remember what I text you?
Secure the football.
I said, secure the football, we win. If we secure the football, we win. As long as we don't give them any gifts, we'll win the football game. And you know, it played out.
Yeah, and I just want to look to New Year's Eve, and a lot of people speculating about how it's going to play out. Michigan's either going to play TCU or they're going to play Ohio State in Glendale in the Fiesta Bowl on the 31st, and that'll be the night game. And does Michigan, if you could sit here, does Michigan want to play TCU? Yes. You know why? Because it's an easier game. I mean, like, if do you want to play Ohio State? If you have to play them, you know, they're in the way. You'd like to see them in the championship game, but you would like to see TCU because it's an easier game. That doesn't mean you're running scared. It doesn't mean anything. It means that you're number two and you like the matchup better. It doesn't matter where you're at. You could say, if we want to be the best, we'll play the best. They've already played Ohio State. So, you know, like trying to play them again, they might have to. And you know what? If they have to play them again, they beat them once in Columbus. Sure enough, you know, both teams might have some players back. I don't know if Jackson Smith, the Jigma, might play, or Travion Henderson for Ohio State. And you do see that in the history of college football, when teams have to play another team twice, that it's usually the advantage actually of the team that's lost. But, you know, I think Michigan can beat Ohio State again.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm totally confident that we can beat them again. You know, I'm going to be – again, you know how Scar talks about being greedy, about wanting everything. I was a little discouraged with USC because if USC wins that football game and TCU wins that football game, we're not dealing with none of this Ohio State stuff. And I wanted Ohio State to be down. I wanted it to hurt the recruiting. I wanted it, you know, I wanted it as bad as it could possibly be for Ohio State. And USC and TCU let us down in terms of making that happen. So now Columbus has a little more enthusiasm. You know, they got a shot at being in this. They're going to be in this mix. And, you know, so now there's more enthusiasm. Recruiting is going to be a little more positive. But listen, TCU, we will defend them. And we will move the ball against that three-man. The way what they do on defense is similar to what the Rich Rod defense. It's actually similar to what Ohio State did. You know, the Big 12 defenses, they see that spread all the time. Okay, and I just think we would do a good job against that three-man front. It's a 3-3-5 type of scheme what they do, and I really like what we would if we played TCU. But let's talk about the Buckeyes, Denny. If we got to play them. One of the biggest advantages Ohio State had in that game is we really didn't know how they were going to defend us. You know, they knew how, you know, what our offense did. They knew what our defense did, was going to do. But that was the one equation, was what was Jim Knowles going to do. But we will have our offense will have a bigger advantage now, you know, knowing what this guy likes to do, how he adjusts. You know, what his strategy was, we really didn't know it. Now our coaches know. So I feel confident with TCU, you know, or the Buckeyes. So I feel confident.
I'll tell you what, TCU only has themselves to blame. You know, their quarterback, Max Duggan, I think a lot of people, if they had a Heisman vote, they might put him number one. They certainly would put him in their top three. I actually put my Heisman vote together tonight. I did not have him in there. However, you know, late in that game, they get down to the goal line and they go for it on a 4th-and-1. This guy's been running 5, 10, 15, 30 yards, you know, and sure enough, he was gassed and everything. But they get two cracks down there at the end from a half-foot line, and they don't let that kid run it. I thought that was a huge mistake for
him. Yeah, I thought he had the quarterback sneak there on the third down. I thought there was no one over the center, over the quarterback there. I don't know. But I would say playing TCU would be a lot like playing Purdue. I thought athletically, when I look at Purdue's defense, it looked pretty similar to the athletes I saw with TCU. And offensively, I think defending Jeff Brohm is just as difficult you know, as defending TCU. Playing TCU would be like playing Maryland, playing Purdue athletically, you know. So teams we should be able to beat and we probably have better players than them. So, you know, that's what I saw. You're right, Danny. I thought there was a you know, that guy's a good coach though, man. He's, you know, he had a good season, and he doesn't have great players at TCU. He doesn't have the best football players, and you know, he won 12 games. So
he did a nice job. I think the one thing that if you're a Michigan fan and you know, everybody, I think watching this besides maybe Charlie, who's on here that keeps talking up Ohio State, is that JJ McCarthy, he said it in the post game. I don't know how many people saw this, but if you've been observing Michigan along the way here, you can tell that it's different this time in the college football playoff. It's really easy to just to say it like this, that Michigan was just happy to get to the college football playoff last year. This year, they're not just happy to get to the college football playoff. Michigan wants to win it. They were happy just to beat Ohio State last year. It had been so long to get that monkey off their back. This year, I didn't expect them to, but they expected to go down to Columbus and beat Ohio State. And they did that. Harbaugh, when he was up there in Indianapolis, remember, he put those goals out. He said, we want to beat Michigan State. We want to beat Ohio State. We want to win the Big Ten. And we want to win the Natty. You know, he's throwing all us out there. It's like, whoa, look at Jim Harbaugh coming up with all these things. Well, he's ticking them off. You know, he's got them right there. He's just got that last one. And this team, and regardless of who they have to play there, will it be with the percentages increase if they go TCU and then whoever in the championship game? Yes. So that's why you want to see TCU in there. But this team, obviously they can play with Ohio State. They just showed that last week. And then, yeah, you know, you want to be scared of Georgia, be scared of Georgia. It's going to be hard. You know, to win a national championship, you get out there. It's not like this thing's going to be easy the whole time. Whoever they play, you know, it's going to be tough. But if they can get healthy and get out there, this team has got a legitimate chance to win the next two games.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's one thing to have those goals, you know, to write all that stuff down, but it's another thing, and you know, you have to have good coaches and you got to have good players, and we have that. And then you got to get them strong. We do all those things, and then you got to, you know, you got to develop depth, which we were able to do. And then to have that special year though, Denny, and I've been on teams that, you know, you have that undefeated team. You got to have guys that make big plays in big games, you know. And we did that. We got through Illinois, as tough a game as that was, you know, and we found a way to you know, to make the big plays at Ohio State without our top running back. But I'm just looking at some of the questions and comments coming in. Anything you want to talk about there, Danny? Any of those comments?
Well, let me just bring some up. I'll have you. You can comment on any of them. So let's go here. A lot of them talking about the committee. I mean, the committee and how – if look, at Michigan's either going to play TCU or they're going to play Ohio State. So everybody's going through it and talking about it. So I'll just start anywhere. Let's start with Antoine, who says, yes, we all know there's bias, but there's no reasonable reason why Ohio State should be past number four. Dennis, well, I'll answer that one because he put my name in there. And Antoine, like, I want Michigan to play TCU. I'm just telling you that the committee, they're thinking about the matchup and they're thinking about money. And just nobody wants to see TCU. I know people are saying they didn't want Cincinnati last year, but Cincinnati was there and they won their game. What happened to TCU today? They lost. So they have it out. They can say, look, you know what they'll say? Look at the strength of schedule for TCU. I know Kansas State was up there in the top 10. They can do it. If there was ever going to be a team that was going to get in with two losses, it would be Alabama. And that's what I think that they'll do. I hope they don't. And I will give them credit. If they put TCU in there at number three and they have Ohio State number four, then I think that selection committee deserves applause and they've got it right. But I,
because Danny, don't they talk about conference champions? Don't they always emphasize?
Talk about all kinds of stuff, Scar, but you know what they do? None of that matters.
Okay, well, if you're going to talk about that stuff and Ohio State did not play a 13th game and you're going to punish these guys for playing a 13th game and losing, that's, you right. know, And, you know, Ohio State plays a 12th game, and they get their butt whooped at home, at home. So I'm hoping that's what I think, you know. Listen, Denny, I understand your point. I'm just hoping they put a lot of emphasis on getting whooped at home, whereas TCU won 12 games and lost a 13th game playing for a championship. That's hopefully these guys back up, you know, the emphasis they put on winning a championship.
Here's a question to you. It says, let's be ready to play with a game plan to beat whoever's in front of us. Michigan don't need easy. We need to beat the next team.
We'll get ready. You know, but, you know, there's a big difference between what TCU is going to do and then what Ohio State's going to do. You know, the quarterback at TCU is a runner. We'll have a plan for all of them, you know, but there's similarities to what I saw TCU do. Very similar to in some ways to, you know, to a Maryland offensively. Defensively, they actually might be kind of similar to what Ohio State, because we didn't see too many three-man fronts that run that. Because Iowa State guy is the popular three-man front guy in the Big 12. And I think some of those guys are copying him, that three-man front, 3-3-5 stuff that Iowa State had so much success with. So that's what I saw from TCU. And I think when we come out with three tight ends and our tight ends and what we like to do, I think they'll have problems with that scheme.
Yeah, this was talked about a little bit this week. You would never want Blake Corum he's Michigan's MVP. You wanted him against Ohio State, but it forced JJ into having to throw the ball a little bit more. And that may have just, you know, sometimes, like, you know, the bird at some point, you know, the mother bird has to throw the, you know, the bird out of the nest, and then he flies, you know, and you might not want to, but, you know, JJ played a pretty good game today, except when he had that all day back there, he threw that interception. He hasn't thrown very many interceptions this year. And, you know, he's gone from, I was questioning him late in the year, his arm, to he has the confidence now, and he's clicking in that passing game. Now, he wasn't perfect there, but he's a weapon enough where it gives Michigan this multi-dimensional look with their offense, and that's going to be pretty important on New Year's Eve and then on January 9th.
Yeah, you know, Jim talks, you know, that JJ reminds him of himself, and I played with Jim, and I kind of agree with that from the elusiveness, the confidence, you know, the toughness, and I see a lot of similarities there. And I think Jim, you know, if you're going to teach a guy and you're going to allow him to be creative and run around and break contain and do the things JJ does and have such success so many times doing things sometimes that might be a little high risk, you cannot hammer the guy when he comes off the field and he throws an interception like that. It was a poor decision, but I would not. I think they handled it right. You know, I saw Sharon Moore hugging him, and so yeah, they know how to deal with that, because I've seen it many times as a coach. You can't beat the guy up if you have a creative quarterback like that.
No, and it seemed like everybody hugged him. Everybody came over there and were like, hey, JJ, you're going to be all right. You know, you can tell they like that guy.
Yeah, because, you know, but when I hear these Michigan players talk, that tells you the mindset, it starts from the top. They see a coach that is all about giving credit to his assistants, all about giving credit to everybody else, and then they just end up repeating everything that they're hearing. You know, that's when I knew when I was coaching that we really had things going. When my players, when I heard them interviewed, they were saying the same things that we were telling them as coaches. So that's where I think that whole mindset down at Schembechler Hall is about team. It's about the next guy and, fighting for your buddy.
Well, I was going to say we'll get Scars in my final thoughts, but if you're out there and you have a question, if you have a point, seems like my voice is coming along now. You know, it was a little bit rough at the beginning, but now I'm fighting through it. So if you got some questions, you got some points, let's go to them. Florida says Corum is better at moving the chains and making people miss. We are more explosive with Edwards. His cast removal will give JJ an outlet. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, he did try to throw it to him once or twice, but you're absolutely right. Corum, he's done. But, you know, Danny, you made a point, you know, it's like Edwards is always, since he's been at Michigan, he's been like number two, number three. You know, Corum is the lead dog, and last year was Haskins and Corum. But you know what? I've seen it many times as a player, and I saw it, you know, and as a coach, people say, oh, you got this guy. How are you going to replace that guy? How are you going to replace this guy? This guy gets hurt. What's going to – but you know what? So many times I've seen it at Michigan and I've seen it at coaching that you put this guy in there and he knows he's the guy, and you watch how he responds and you watch how he elevates his game, and that's what Donovan has done these last couple games. So, yeah, Corum, it'd be nice to have him, but Donovan is going to elevate, and I think that whole running back room is going to elevate, and that's what we're hoping happens.
Yeah, and there is it was the way outside chance, but I don't think anybody's really expecting it. But when they said when the news came out of the report that Blake Corum was done for the season, it seemed like Michigan got into their insiders. Josh Henschke, the publisher of the Maize and Blue Review, said, "Hey, Michigan." Well, he said, "Look, there's an outside chance, because if you add it up, was it just over 5 weeks, maybe 6 weeks, till you get to January the 9th? Maybe an outside chance that in the championship game you could see number two for the Maize and Blue come out there on the field. Not that it would be a sure thing that he would come back and play, but an outside chance that he could be in there. That would be pretty cool." For Michigan, it's cool now. Getting into the college football playoff is cool. There's a lot of things cool about it. I wanted to ask you, Scar, what you like so much about it, and I'll let you think about it. For me, there's a lot of things that I like. You know, this is, this is the things that you think about. Like you're hoping to have this kind of season, and there are times over the years when you look back and you can remember pretty much from. You know, the 70s when I didn't even know who the players were or anything that were out there, all the way up to 2007, the off seasons were always like, you know what, Michigan could win a national championship. They've got the players, they've got the coach, and if they can make 3, 4, 5 plays, that's kind of what the season's going to come down to. They can have an undefeated season, they can win it all. And it doesn't happen. It didn't happen very often, and it happened in 97. So you're always thinking about that. And then to see them now that things have changed, where you have a college football playoff, and for the years that they struggled to get to this point, and even Harbaugh, where it's a hell of a story. I mean, Harbaugh, the pandemic season, you know, you're looking at him and you're thinking, you know, yeah, you know, maybe they, I don't know, you weren't saying that, but I was saying it. A lot of other people saying, look, maybe it's just time to move on. And yet he's turned this whole thing around to put them where they're at right now. All of that is fabulous. But I like how each and every day that if you turn on the TV and you're watching anything at all that involves college football, they're talking about Michigan. You know, they have to talk about Michigan. Michigan's in the semifinal. They're going to talk about whoever they're playing. They're going to talk about Jim Harbaugh and what they've done for the last 2 years. They're going to talk about how Jim that part, and that it just keeps the energy, because most people enjoy college football the most, and a lot of people that are watching here, their number one team is Michigan, so they just can't get enough. And it's just almost like around the clock, Maize and Blue, they're just talking about him, and you just can't get enough. And we're sitting, it's only it's now the 4th of December, but all the way up to the 31st. I mean, this is a huge chunk of days, and it's still, Michigan's alive. They got a chance to win a championship. That part, I really enjoy that. They're still.
Danny, that's what we want. We want that. That's what it was like in the 70s, in the 80s. Where Michigan was beating Ohio State half the time. We were beating Ohio State 80% of the time. We're playing for championships. You know, those who stay, damn near everybody for 40 years, Schembechler, Moeller, Carr years, had a ring on their finger. And when you talk about Michigan all the time in the media, that's what we want the young people throughout this country, especially in the Midwest, so that the kids come to Michigan, so we get the best players, so that the kids are wearing Michigan gear. You go to the mall, they got Michigan hats on. You know, that's what we want to get. Put that green stuff in the closet. Okay, put that away. Send that to Salvation Army. Put the Michigan gear on so we can start dominating recruiting again. So it's all the talk of Michigan, Denny, it's all about momentum again. You know, it's all about momentum. And that's what we want. That's where we want our program. And, you know.
Scar, I like this question to you from Dan. Michigan may play Ohio State in the semifinal. They may not, but then they may have to play them in the final. We know that Ohio State's going to be in this Final Four. We just don't know if Michigan's going to play them first or if both teams are going to have to win, and then they would meet in the championship game. But Don asked if Ohio State will change their defense if Michigan plays them next time.
You know, Denny, one of the great things about Bill Belichick, you know, they play everybody twice in that league, in the NFL, in their league, you know. He'll play them one way the first time, and he will do something totally different. That's what they always say about Bill Belichick. He will do something totally different. And that's what I like about our coaches, too, is that people can't get a bead on what we do defensively. Just because we defended one team who runs the exact same stuff as you one way, the following week we're doing something different. So as far as Ohio State goes, I mean, I think they have a foundation of what they do. And I think he'll look at that film, you know, and he'll say, yeah, okay, we stopped their run game, you know, pretty good until these four or five plays. So he might do a little more, you know, have a safety more. But, yeah, they will tweak. Both teams will tweak. And that second matchup is, you know, it's a lot of it is coaching. How, you know, what are you going to do to get the advantage on somebody you just played? So, yes, both sides of the ball, all the coaches will make tweaks to what they did, what worked well. But the you know, we're going to know what they did that gave us trouble. So they're going to try to defend that, or how do we attack them? And you know, you're going to try to shore up your weaknesses and try to exploit their weaknesses, and they're going to do the opposite. They're going to, you know, so you have to play that game, and who's going to get the advantage.
Yeah, I love it. One thing about it, we know Michigan's offensive line looks like they're intact. With Schoonmaker going down and not having Eric All, Colston Loveland comes in late in the season, and you can see, you know, he's a real weapon. You got two tight ends. You can start picking through who's the most important wide receiver, whether it's Ronnie Bell, whether it's Cornelius Johnson. Roman Wilson got a little bit of a look in there. And then Donovan Edwards, if he doesn't have that hand in a cast, his ability to be a mismatch out in the passing game is something that Michigan could exploit when you're thinking about a matchup, a 2.0 against OSU.
Yeah, his presence on the field is a bigger problem when he, you know, when he's a pass threat. And, you know, Denny, you know, I think when Jim ran the 2-point conversion, there's a part of me that was thinking, you know, maybe he ran that so the opponent has to work on it. Because I, you know, sometimes teams will run things. They will, now you got to spend 10 minutes in practice working on the swinging gait, because that's what Michigan ran. So I've played guys that run so many of these different crazy things that you have to spend time on in practice, and it keeps you from spending time on stopping their best stuff, you know, to beat them. So Mullings is another cog in the wheel. He's valuable. Yeah, that's what Randy has. Yeah, he's a valuable kid, a two-way kid. Jim loves those kind of guys. The offensive line, if somebody texted earlier about the offense, I told you, our offensive line protection was really good. Again, when you see JJ running around, most of that is because, you know, the defense is allowing these seams inside, or they're taking shots and letting him get outside the defense. And so our protection was, you know, we really weren't getting guys beating our guys. And our run blocking, again, the reason we had maybe some trouble running the ball against them was because they were really overcommitting and guessing. They really emphasized, too, Denny, taking away the JJ keep. I don't know if you noticed that. I don't think JJ kept the ball once. And that wasn't by accident. It was because that's what Purdue was definitely taking that play away.
Let's throw some numbers at you from this game. JJ McCarthy was 11 of 17 for 161 yards and three touchdowns. He did have that one interception. Donovan Edwards, 25 carries, 185 yards and a touchdown, and he had that 60-yard run. Khalil Mullings, 8 carries, 26, two touchdowns for the Wolverines. McCarthy carried it 5 times for 14 yards. Receiving, Ronnie Bell, 5 catches, 67 yards, a touchdown. Luke Schoemaker, 3 grabs, 56 yards, a touchdown. Holston Loveland, a catch, 25 yards, a touchdown. Kojo had 1 for 9, and Donovan Edwards had 1 for 4. I was surprised that they threw the ball to Donovan Edwards. They targeted him a couple times. He caught one of them. How about some of these defensive numbers, Gar? Junior Colston, 15 tackles. Rod Moore, 14. Barrett was in double figure sacks. Barrett had 1. Jalen Harrell had 2. But 3 Wolverines in double figures with Colston, Moore, and Barrett. 9 solo tackles for Michael Barrett. And then, of course, the 2 interceptions for Will Johnson, who is quite the playmaker. I wanted to ask you, the first touchdown that he got, that was the one that ended up in the end zone, right?
Our first first interception, yeah, he caught it on the 1-yard line there.
Yeah, I thought he caught it in the end zone. I was surprised. Yeah,
I had a feeling they were going to mark it there on about the 1.
That was a good call.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah. And I was a little discouraged that we couldn't change the field position there. We've done a pretty good job of that. But, then we had the illegal formation and they had us stopped anyway. But, that was his first interception. Great play. He's reading the little things. When you see these guys, cut in front of receivers, he's sensing something. He's scouting. He knows what the opponent does in certain down and distance. He knows what the opponent is doing by the split of the receiver. So, those interceptions are not by accident that he's just reacting, while the play is happening. He's seeing the formation. He's seeing the receiver. He's watched a lot of film, and he knows what they like to do in that receiver. He smelled something. So, those are the little things I think that contribute to those interceptions.
Good stuff. Michigan led this one by just a point at the half, 14-13. But as they have done all year long, remember, it was just a 2017 game. They were down by 3 against Ohio State. Against Rutgers, they were trailing. Michigan State, it was only a 13-7 score. It was only 16-14 against Penn State. It was 10-10 against Indiana. This team really has done this all year long, play it close at the half. They come out in the second half and they put the hammer down. They did that. And they also had a bunch of big plays, and that continued as well for the Wolverines, who now, it's fun to say, 43-22, they're back-to-back Big Ten champs for the first time outright since 91-92. That's a long time. And they're 13-0, and now they just wait till later on today at noon when the college football playoff rankings come out to see if they're going to play TCU or Ohio State. That's what we're expecting, at least what I'm expecting. And so, Scar, give me your final thoughts. This is this era right here and back-to-back. People are going to talk about this, and for 20, 30, 40 years, they'll be looking back to – 20.
That's right. For a long time. I've been out 35 years, but it gets back to that, Denny, and that's for life, man. And Jim's done a great job of leading this thing. And it had to all come to play. We needed all of it. We needed great coaching from him. The offensive coaches had to be good. The defensive coaches had to be good. The special team coaches had to be good, and they were all good. And the players had to be good in all 3 phases. Moody, we don't have the great kicker. We don't beat Illinois. All these little, you had to have it all come in place. And then you had to have the development of depth that we did, which was smart as coaches. And because how many guys got banged up, like Coach Carr talked about. So it was a masterful job by everybody. Players made plays when they had to. And don't. I know that the media and the people now it's all about the national championship and this college playoff, but don't underestimate what we've done to win a Big Ten championship. That is huge to win a Big Ten championship with these teams out there that we've had to compete against in that league. And that is not easy to do, man, with the powers that Penn State and Iowa and Ohio State. And these guys got big-time coaches with big-time budgets with a lot of fans just like us. And we went through it all, man, and beat them. And we're the champion of the Big Ten Conference. So that is a huge accomplishment. Again, the ring, they got it for life. Danny, I'm signing out. It's all about Go Blue. We're hoping for TCU, though, baby.
I'm with you there. Big Ten record, 44th Big Ten title for the Maize and Blue. All right, for Jim Scarcelli, I'm Dennis Fithian. We'll talk to Scar on Monday at 1 o'clock. Don't forget, we're on after every Michigan football and basketball game. The Wolverines are out in London. They're playing a 1 o'clock Eastern game later on today. So we'll talk some Michigan-Kentucky coming up on a Sunday afternoon. That'll be fun. We'll see you then. All right, for Scar, Dennis Fithian, 44-22. That is the final for the Wolverines, who win the Big Ten. We'll talk with you on Monday at 1 o'clock with Scarcelli and his film analysis. See you then.